The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, welcome back. Friday, April 26, 2024. I am Seth Leibson. Mr. Bill is producing today. Mr. David Dahl has the day off. I think he was playing around at the Tiki Resort or something at the Valley Hoa. I believe he sent a few pictures here and there. Maybe he'll put them up on his Instagram account to Answer the Call with Dahl, where he's usually putting up cooking videos. So anyway, Mr. Bill, good to have you back, sir. And Miss Terry, nice to have you. Valery Legasov, the fictional scientist in the dramatization of Chernobyl by HBO, put out by HBO a couple of years ago, opens the movie about the Soviet Union and the Chernobyl disaster by asking, what is the cost of lies? It's not that we'll mistake them for the truth, he says. The real danger is that if we hear enough lies, we no longer recognize the truth at all. What can we do then? What else is left but to abandon even the hope of truth and content ourselves instead with stories, tales? And in these stories, it doesn't matter who the heroes are. All we need is someone to blame. And I was thinking about that quote. I think about it often. What happens when we tell so many lies that we can no longer recognize the truth anymore? When a truth teller comes, we must kill him, denounce him, in any form of censorship that we can, whether it's, as George Bernard Shaw said, through assassination, the most extreme form of censorship, or otherwise. We made a fetish, and still do, of the lies Donald Trump told, or purportedly told. And what's interesting is that no one in the journalistic community seems to care about the lies Joe Biden tells, because they are so routine. It's as if we expect it. Like, we didn't expect lies from other politicians or Donald Trump, but we expect them from Joe Biden, as if we're defining down or giving a pass to a certain class of people. In this case, that class of people being liberals or Democrats or leftists. If it's in the service of a certain ideology, the standard doesn't matter. You see this going on our college campuses. For you all know damn well that if you had protesters, be they students or professors, in white robes or carrying even something like Confederate flags, or someone saying kind words about the KKK, that those protests would be over within the snap of a finger. Those professors would be fired regardless of tenure. Those students would be kicked off the campus, never to return. Again, you know damn well that's true. But because of a certain classification here, we allow the equivalent to take place when it comes to Jew hatred, when it comes to people on Columbia and New York University in particular, Columbia and New York University, New York City in particular, carrying signs that say final solution. Or you have this leader of the protest movement saying Zionists don't deserve to live, and be grateful that I'm not just going out and murdering Zionists. Invocations to not just death, but the very genocide they claim to be against, because it's against a preferred, or it's by a preferred group of people against an unpreferred, contemporarily unpreferred group of people, which is interesting because I say contemporary when it's really a historic unpreferred type of people. I get asked a lot about this, and we can engage this conversation if you want. It's not where I intended to go. about why it has become so en vogue or de rigueur or, shall we say, exacerbated, so widespread, this outcry of Jew hate. Where did it come from and why now? And we can go into that. That was not my point, not originally. I'll save that for you, the listener, if you want to call in on it. We can talk about it. What I wanted to talk about was the lies Joe Biden tells, the lies we all live with. This morning, he was on Howard Stern's show, very presidential of him, don't you think? And in that, on that show today with Howard Stern, he said, as a lifeguard, when he was younger, he saved six people from drowning. Is he just adopting the stories of everyone else like he did Neil Kinnock's speeches and biography when he ran for president in 1988? Is he doing that all over again? This is Ronald Reagan's story as a lifeguard saving people. Just as it was Nelson Rockefeller's story that he lost his son to cannibalism in New Guinea. Is he just adopting every other famous political leader's stories as his own right now? And is he doing it deliberately or unconsciously? And if deliberately, that's a problem for the media. If unconsciously, that's a problem for the country and the world. He said in his interview with Howard Stern, he received once salacious pictures from women in the 1970s that he handed to the Secret Service. This is odd as hell. How would he receive salacious pictures of women? Why would he receive salacious pictures of women? And who takes salacious pictures of women and gives them to the Secret Service? And why the Secret Service, since he was in the Senate and the Secret Service doesn't guard anyone in the Senate? All just odd. He said he was arrested as a kid while standing with a black family on their porch as people were protesting desegregation. This is a lie. He said that he was a runner-up in state scoring in football. This is a lie. He walks like an injured football player of yore, I suppose, or maybe someone with tragically a form of traumatic brain injury, but that he was a runner-up in state scoring. All of these are lies. The Federalist Society has counted 358 lies of Joe Biden's. 358, not quite the 30,000 the Washington Post recounts and documents of Donald Trump. By the way, can anyone tell me what one of those 30,000 of Donald Trump's lies were? They were irrelevant. It was braggadocio. It was personal. They were nonsense. Biden said he was arrested during the civil rights movement, standing on the porch with a black family at a protest near his Delaware neighbor hood during the civil rights era. PolitiFact, even PolitiFact, admits there is no record of Biden ever having been arrested. Police were called to the home as hundreds of people protested outside. There were a few arrests, but no evidence that Biden was among them, they concluded, rating his tale false. The salacious pictures. He says, I got put in that 10 most eligible bachelors list, Biden said just days after he shared the exact same story in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Not only did Biden not have a Secret Service security detail during his time in the upper chamber, but a search yields no results for Biden's name on a 10 most eligible bachelors list. He wasn't even that. A 1974 profile merely noted that Biden was hounded for weeks by the media in the wake of his wife and daughter's death. Is he exploiting that? All right, let's do the high school football. He repeated the lie that he falsely inflated his, and by falsely inflating his performance as a wide receiver in Catholic League football. Quote, by the way, I don't think a lot of people know that you were a star receiver in high school. Star receiver. You were like the first string guy. You were the guy who caught the ball, Stern said. Runner up in state scoring, you know, what the heck, but I was a runt, Biden continued. Archived newspapers from Biden's pigskin glory days show he placed fifth in the conference with four touchdowns through four games for 24 points. Yeah. On and on these lies go. Lies about his son, lies about his family, lies about his ex-wife, lies about the person responsible for the death of his ex-wife, lies about his biography, lies about his upbringing, lies about being arrested in South Africa on behalf of civil rights. Every part of him is a lie, including that he's in command of his senses and capable of leading the United States of America. He's not capable of managing a 7-Eleven. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960. Let's go to David in Phoenix. Hello, David.
Hi, Seth. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So, by the way, a great intro. And so what's going on? How is it that this is all happening? And the answer is that this is not specific to anyone, specific to Biden. We live now in a society where false information is propagated by people in the media, in politics, in social settings, and there's no accountability, Seth, unless the media and the government want you to be accountable, whether there's substance to the accountability or not. But the point is, we live now in a society where people will say whatever they want, and they're not called on it. And essentially, this will continue. It's part of the deterioration of our culture and the deterioration of forensics and the study of argument and debate and, you know, the exchange of ideas and the pursuit of truth. And that's what you're witnessing.
Yeah, you're right. We live in an age of lies. We really do. Abe Greenwald, an editor, wrote that when it comes to Joe Biden, he lies when he whispers and he lies when he shouts. The president lies about everything from his policy record to his relationship with his son, to his academic credentials, to how his other son died, to how his house nearly burned to the ground. Biden has told three different lies about being arrested. It's not special anymore, lies. They used to be special in the sense of aberrational, right? It's the default mode of debate now in the 21st century, isn't it? We've just kind of become used to them. And this transfers beyond just the fulminations of the president. We buy into lies about people's sex. We buy into lies about people's humanity. We buy into lies about the nature and meaning of life. We buy into lies about almost anything that one could utter a true sentence about. Right? I mean, this is what's interesting.
And those lies.
Yeah, go ahead.
And those lies, Seth, unfortunately, are also propagated by, as we see, the university.
Yeah.
So the lies now become the truth for the generation that knows no history. And essentially, you know, it's sort of like, do we really, I mean, you know, for example, Joe Biden, yeah, you can blame him and say, hey, he's a liar. But really, is it Joe's fault? No, it's everyone else's fault, because no one is coming in and calling him on it and asking this or that. And that's the same thing when you see political discourse on these crazy, left-wing stations.
Right.
They give a recap of information that's not based on truth and history.
Right.
And let me say this, if you're that young student who's at the Ivy League school,
yep,
who only knows what their professors tell them, and
yep,
then they go and they watch these left-wing media sites,
yep,
and these people, they think it's true.
Israel is an apartheid state. Israel engages in genocide. All of it.
All of it. All of it.
And what's interesting, you put your finger on something kind of interesting here, David, in what you were saying, or at least the implication of what you were saying, if I pick you up, right, if I'm picking up what you're putting down. It's a change, because in 1988, I can play the audio, you know it, or the story anyway. In 1988, these kinds of lies from the very self-same Joe Biden, they disqualified him for president. Remember all that? I'll do it in the next segment. But remember all those lies he was found telling in 1988? That was enough to for him to have to remove himself from the candidacy of the presidency. And
but
to,
that's proof.
Right. That's the change. Right. Right.
Exactly. That's correct.
Yeah. So what is that? About 30 years now, a generational change where lies were once not acceptable. They're now the default mode of conversation. That's an unsafe place to be in. That's an unsafe place to be in because, yeah, go ahead.
But it's the benefit of the people that want to distract people from the truth. That's
right.
Why they insert racism.
Right.
That's why they insert sexism. That's why they want you to fight about your health. They want you to fight about your religion. All of that sort of kind of, you know, there's the powers that be that are enjoying this are watching us argue about each other's lies, and there's no accomplishment, right? It's just this continuous, unfortunate situation of unhealthy discourse without, and that's sort of like that advertisement that they have on the radio station, I think it's Dennis Prager or you. There's a statement that we may not agree on things, but, you know, at least let's get to the clarity.
Oh, yes. Yes. Right. I prefer clarity rather. Yes. It's a Prager line. I prefer clarity to agreement. Right. Right.
And it's a wonderful sort of proposition for young people to take note of. And that's the goal. We can disagree, but let's have a solution. Let's get somewhere and clarify. But instead,
it's impossible.
No,
right. It's become so impossible. And you know what the other side of this coin is, or the animating part of this coin of the realm, perhaps, is the better way to put it, is the notion of my truth. It means that there is no truth, which means we live in lies. And it becomes just a question of who can amass the bigger number of people to accept and buy into those lies, which means that, justice, decency is merely a matter of the biggest mob, and it's based on nothing underneath it, no principle whatsoever.
Right. We just have to figure out a way in order to, it's like how, Trump would talk about draining the swamp. And obviously, it triggers the people in power. But the people in media and the people in education and people in civics and their communities just have to figure out a way to sort of, make it so that we get out of this systemic, ongoing, never ending waste of time of fighting and to really focus on it. And unfortunately, we deal with corruption and there's a lot of things that go against it. But hopefully we'll get there.
Well, I do hope so, because think about the implications. If you and I can't agree on what morning is or what night is or what the sun is, what planet Earth is, think about, or anything. If we can't agree on basic facts. And acknowledge them as true rather than you think it's true that at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Think about what that means across every aspect of public policy debate. It means we are going to live in a big lie. We are going to be living in nothing but a world of propaganda and lies. We are going to be living in nothing but regimes like the Soviet Union and Nazi Germany. That's it. That's it. They had their truth, too. And even when you knew the truth, dare you speak it, you would be imprisoned. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Live a lie and you will live to regret it, Jimmy Buffett sings. Rudyard Kipling says don't deal in lies. We have been instructed throughout every possible moral and cultural teaching from the beginning of time, the danger of lies, and used to think they mattered. Right now, there's a case with the president of Columbia University that looks like she is also someone who engaged in plagiarism, just like the president of Harvard, Claudine Gay. And no one's saying or doing anything. Is it because it's now accepted, or is it because we don't care anymore, or is it because she's a person of a different kind of ethnicity that we are granting a different standard to, or is it because we don't want to further inflame the situation at Columbia? I'm sick and tired of this notion that the people who have right on their side, like the police, like the law enforcers, like the academic standards, that they're the ones who are inflaming and exacerbating. We have given not a heckler's veto, we have given a rioter's veto to all forms of truth and justice. Listen to this. If I can find it. Yes, bless you, Dr. Anderson. There is an organization here in town called the Socialism and Liberation Party of Phoenix. The Socialism and Liberation Party of Phoenix. And they are the ones orchestrating the protests that are now at ASU. They have put out their list of demands. Demands. There's only eight of them. And at the top of their list of demands is the entire state of Israel, not just Gaza, not just the West Bank or Judea and Samaria, the entire state of Israel. So we get the idea. Israel should not exist. Here's their demands before they will leave and grant us peace, okay? ASU release an official statement condemning the Zionist genocide of all Palestinians. At best, a debatable proposition for those of us that know actually things. It's not genocide or anything close to it. And it's an offense to the category of genocide to call what Israel is doing genocide. Two, ASU disclose all investments made with student tuition money. Three, ASU divest from all companies tied to the state of Israel or complicit in the occupation of Palestine. Of no other country do they care about divestment where there is an actual genocide. Don't care about it with China, the Uyghurs. Actual genocide. Don't care about it with China and Tibet. Actual genocide. Don't care about it with any country in Africa. Don't care about it in Syria. Don't care about it with any other country. Four, this is my favorite. You'll like this demand, Bill. Because it was when the state legislature asked for it, it didn't even make the news. Ready? Demand number four. ASU President Michael Crow resign immediately. Oh, that'll happen. That'll happen. Because he's responsible somehow. You can blame Michael Crow for many, many things. He's responsible for the foreign policy. Five, ASU end all research exchanges and any partnerships with universities in Israel. Try it with China. Try it with China. Five, abolish ASU and Tempe PD. Well, that will happen. I think I think we have light at the end of the tunnel here. These are reasonable, unobjectionable, and practicable demands. So we have light at the end of the tunnel. These are the who do these people think they are? Who do they think they are? That's an incredible thing to ask for, abolishing the cops. Well, all of this, frankly, is based on something that was said by, I forget who said it yesterday. Someone said it on this show. Who was I interviewing? It might have been Sam Stone. I apologize. Who was making the point. Oh, it was Zudi Jasser. It was Dr. Jasser who was making the point that you see this linkage with Black Lives Matter where we tolerated this kind of nonsense of a Marxist organization. And then people were shocked the week of October 7th when Black Lives Matter put out a poster, put out a flyer with paragliding Palestinian terrorists and called Israel for Israel's destruction. And the Black Lives Matter founders said, why are you surprised? We would have always held this position. Well, of course they would have. They're radical Marxist terrorists. Why were we surprised? I wasn't. Seth Leibson here for my friends from the Midas Gold Group War Room. The MAGA veterans at Midas point out that the Federal Reserve note does not belong to you. It belongs to the Federal Reserve Bank, while the federal debt doesn't belong to the Federal Reserve Bank. That belongs to you. It's your wake-up call to what the Midas Gold Group veterans believe the central bank and government are trying to do, a controlled demolition of our current system with a central bank digital currency to take complete and utter control of our transactional freedoms. Protect yourself. Turn this wake-up call into a phone call to veteran-owned Midas Gold Group at 480-360-3000 or go to MidasGoldGroup.com, 480-360-3000 or MidasGoldGroup.com. Always faithful, Midas Gold Group, MAGA, and proud of it, MidasGoldGroup.com. What a difference a generation makes. You know, I sometimes have these conversations with folks just a little bit older than me, asking how X is tolerable, how Y is tolerable, how Z is tolerable. And they will tell me things like we're a different country or we were a different country then. When I propose, well, what if this was done in any other period? We were a different country. 30 years we were a different country. Lies were enough to disqualify Joe Biden from running for president. Now it's almost all he says. Can I do a trip down memory lane?
Biden today faces a controversy. 3 weeks ago at a debate at the Iowa State Fair, he used phrases identical to those delivered by British Labour Party leader Neil Kinnock.
Biden seemed to be claiming Kinnock's vision and life as his own.
Why is it that my wife is sitting out there in the audience is the first in her family to ever go to college?
Why is Gladys the first woman in her family in 1,000 generations to be able to get the university?
My ancestors who worked in the coal mines in northeast Pennsylvania and come up after 12 hours and play football.
8 hours underground and then come up and play football.
It's because they didn't have a platform upon which to stand.
There was no platform upon which they could stand.
The notion that every thought or notion or idea you'd have to go back and find and attribute to someone, I think is quite frankly ludicrous.
The problem here is that Senator Biden told his audience he'd just been thinking about these things. And he failed to give any credit at all to his famous British speechwriter.
You know, I was thinking on the way over here. Now, that's a little too much, because as you point out, what's behind the words? What's there? And a lot of people, the rap on Biden has always been that it's just a surface.
I should have said, to paraphrase Neil Kinnock, it's the only time I didn't, in all the times I've ever used it.
But CBS News found a tape of a second instance.
It reappeared in the New York Times with a new charge, that Biden had appropriated a famous litany from the late Robert Kennedy about what the gross national product cannot measure.
It cannot measure the health of our children.
The health of our children.
The quality of our education.
The quality of their education.
The joy of their play.
Or the joy of their play.
Biden gave Kennedy no credit. He has also quoted or paraphrased John Kennedy, Hubert Humphrey, and British Labour Party leader Neil Kinnock, all without credit.
Joseph Biden admitted today that he committed plagiarism when he was in law school. He said it was a mistake, but that it was unintentional.
He quoted 5 pages of someone else's work without proper citation.
I've done some dumb things, and I'll do dumb things again.
He was given an F.
So ladies and gentlemen, I've been dumb.
To the political community in Washington, it all seems of a piece. Plagiarism at law school, plagiarism on the stump.
The great communicator. Strike that. The great imitator.
You don't steal verbatim, or when you do, as he did 99% of the time, you give credit.
Biden's critics say he sells himself as a man whose words and visions can inspire a new generation in politics. But if the thoughts, phrases, and visions really belong to others, it's a form of false advertising.
Is it a wise idea, though, to take something that personal anyway from another politician and try and appropriate it to your own campaign?
I think it was a stupid thing to appropriate material that was really very personal, that was someone else's.
Most people didn't know who he was, you know, Joe Biden, and now they're going to say, oh, yeah, he's the guy who plagiarized.
That's a lot of people.
First, politically, that's devastating.
These clips are devastating. He looks like a Joe Biden wind-up doll with somebody else's words coming out.
If they're going to do things that are stupid as well as immoral, then they're probably too dumb to have the job of president.
Voters are going to have to decide whether he was dishonest or dumb.
Senator Joseph Biden may have more explaining to do.
The new questions stem from taped remarks of Biden during an April campaign appearance in New Hampshire.
I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. Went back to law school and, in fact, ended up in the top half of my class. I was the outstanding student in the political science department at the end of my year. I graduated with 3 degrees from undergraduate school and 165 credits, only needed 123 credits.
Biden now concedes he did not graduate in the top half of his law school class, that he does not have 3 degrees from college, and that he was not named outstanding political science student in college.
Newsweek says Biden actually went to school on a half scholarship, ended up near the bottom of his class, and won only 1 degree, not 3.
Joe Biden ranked 76th in a class of 85 at the University of Syracuse Law School. I mean, this guy comes off this whole thing as a flyweight.
Now Biden says Newsweek is right. His memory had failed him.
And I'd be delighted to sit down and compare my IQ to yours if you'd like, Frank.
Joe Biden was victimized by the truth.
Bye-bye Biden. He may not know it yet, but I think this is going to be very difficult for him to recover.
Is Joe Biden dead meat, yes or no?
I think so.
Bob.
It's in terminal condition.
Terminal. Eleanor.
Yes, unless he comes in third in Iowa.
Morton.
Dying.
I say dead. We'll be right back.
30 years ago. Disqualifying. By the way, I think this was a Corolla point, so let me not Biden it up by taking it as my own. But who says they had 3 undergraduate degrees? What do you have? What kind of brain do you have? Who? Bill, you and I have known a lot of people. I've known a lot of people. I don't know anyone who's had 3 undergraduate degrees. Do you? I've never even heard of. I've heard of some people double majoring. Okay, I've heard of that. I never did it. I never understood, you know, why double major and ruin your college experience. But who's ever, why you, there's this great line in The Great Gatsby. I was amazed at the elaborateness of the lie. I was amazed at the elaborateness of the lie. What kind of person can speak like that over such an unbelievable claim, like getting arrested with Nelson Mandela, for example, or any number of things he said? Now, this was the guy who was to get rid of the liar in chief. This was the guy who was supposed to cure us from, quote unquote, the big lie. The big lie. The big lie. What is the big lie? That someone thought that they won a presidential election? Well, Hillary Clinton said that. The big lie was replaced with the biggest of liars. Portions of this show brought to you by our dear friends at Y-Refi. Y-Refi is headquartered here in Phoenix. Their offices are right on Chauncey Lane. You can visit with them. I've been there any number of times. If you do, you get no sales pitch. You won't be asked to sign a thing. They leave the sales pitch up to me. What Y-Refi has is a secure investment in a collateralized portfolio that really invests control and flexibility with you. With Y-Refi, there are absolutely no fees. There is no attack on principal if you ever need your money back. With Y-Refi, of course, you get a monthly statement with no surprises, and you can turn your income on or off. You can compound it whatever you like. Best of all, you can earn up to a 10.25% fixed rate of return, and it's not tied to the stock market or the Federal Reserve. That's right, 10.25% fixed rate of return. If you don't visit them in person, check them out online. InvestYRefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then REFY.com, or call them at 888-YREFI-24. There's just one other point about Joe Biden's trip to New York and his interview with Howard Stern. So he goes on the Howard Stern show, very presidential, and bruits about all these new lies on top of his old lies, and engages in a fundraiser. New York, you think there might be other business for him in New York? Anything else going on in New York? You think he might say or do something about people with veins bulging from their necks as they spew the same anti-Semitic bile that was heard in Germany in the 1930s? Well, that was what he said was the reason he ran for president when he saw it in Charlottesville. He said he was moved to run for president because in Charlottesville, when he saw people with veins bulging from their necks spewing the same anti-Semitic bile that was heard in Germany in the 1930s. And Donald Trump then said there were fine people on both sides. Donald Trump did not mean that about that group. That was all another big lie. In fact, one might say the entire catalyst for Joe Biden's reason for running for president was based on a big lie. But even if you want to accept it as his truth, how is death to Zionists, which was the same chance, heard in Germany, not worthy of his condemnation when he goes to New York now? So poster said final solution. Was that heard in Germany? It came from Germany. Again, you have to be the right kind of oppressor to get the countenance of this president and this party called the Democratic Party. That's confusion, moral confusion, as Elie Wiesel said. When good and evil are put on the same moral plane, and the cruel receive the countenance of the just.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.